In its highest and most precious state, love is life. And we, all of us being love's children, were made in her image. As such, we are divine expressions of love, and in this, our holiest and richest destiny is to experience her, as she was, and as she is, and as she will be. Love is beyond all religion, and all man's created philosophies, theologies, and holy books. She sits set apart, ready for us to encounter her. Our greatest calling is to abide in the place of knowing love intimately. In the beginning, love was, as he is the beginning. To start, love spoke life and it came to be. Then, with this living culture of endless experience in hand, she began to weave an intricate tapestry of pleasure and grace, carefully stitching together the very fabric of existence. She reveled in joy, overcome by her desires, and he saw that this was good. Pausing for a moment, her mind racing in abundant excitement, she asked, "Children?" He smiled, his being satisfied by such a thought. "Yes, hurry, children, come be with us." His voice, like rivers of living waters, his words poured out over her creation where life wrapped itself around their tangibility. The deepest desires of love's beautiful heart made manifest, man and woman. Love was caught up in hope as she looked on in wonder, his words being life to their affections. She cried out in delight, "They look just like us. They are perfect." Man and woman lay gently before their love, still asleep as yet to taste her breath. "My children," he spoke softly, serenading them by the sounds of his voice. "I adore you." All was still. What once was bright grew laden with grief. Their father now looked on them, his heart heavy and his being burdened. "I feel you," love wept. He was taken by the depths of his everlasting commitment to them. He ached in the afflictions of his affections. "Whatever it takes, I am eternally yours," he promised. She then bowed herself in submission, became flesh like her children, and fell to their feet. Her tears a cleansing shower, her hair the washcloth she worked on each foot, pouring herself out over them in deep adoration until they were clean and she was satisfied. She kissed them, moving over their entire bodies, no part of them being unworthy of her lips. Time, as it was not the constrictor of their beings, only the marked celebration of their togetherness. And now it called love into a deeper union, a three-part affair. Pulling herself close to man, love pressed her lips against his and breathed life and longing into his body. Her breath became his and his chest began to pulse. She looked on him in profound happiness. Love saw that this was good. Their son, their affections made flesh, lay breathing before them. "I am happy," she sang in worship. "I am very happy." Then, entirely focused on his son, love called out, "Wake up, son. It's time. Existence beckons us," she continued playfully, "and we've only an eternity to accomplish such a task." Man sat up slowly, drinking in what he could of his surroundings. "Welcome home, son. We've missed you." His father smiled. Man smiled. their happiness an apparent force between them like the air man now breathed. "Come, let's talk," his father said, motioning man to join him for a walk. And together they walked for hours, days, decades, time having no significant say over them except to congratulate their timeless unity. It was Father and his Son and their Holy Spirit, one and together, as was always planned and as was always expected. No separation had any voice. They were only subject to the many joys and ecstasies of being loved and of loving without reservation and without condition. They were completely naked and living in a culture of shameless intimacy, nothing hidden, as no one wanted to hide. "I like you," they said, all at one time, without plan or purpose to it. They laughed. They became lost in their laughter, this one present moment more important than any moment before it and any moment after it, as was each other present moment together. The laughing had forced man to shut his eyes in delight, and when he was able to gain control of his being once more, his eyes opened. "My love," he prayed, looking around. "Papa?" Man pulled himself to his feet and sought out his parents. He couldn't see them. What he could see, though, was shocking and beautiful and largely wonderful. "Son, this is my nature." Man felt his father, and man knew him to be there, but his eyes could not find him. "This is who I am." A breath of wind came upon him and overcame his senses. Man felt her, but his eyes could not find her. "We are in the very air you breathe, that active inhale of our beings into your being, and as such, we will always be with you, whether you were able to see us or not." All became quiet. Then, with conviction man had not known, she whispered, "Always, son." He was still. Man found himself caught up in a simple state of awe, new visions appearing before his eyes, his being pleased by their loveliness. He now realized that while he had so deeply enjoyed seeing his father and being with his mother tangibly, he had overlooked where he was. He had been so consumed in them that he had neglected to take his eyes from them. There were so many living things around him. There was so much to take in. "Let's play a game." Love's voice resonated with excitement. "What would you have me call?" She paused for a moment, as if searching the cosmos for significance. "What would you have me call that?" Man was quiet as he thought up names appropriate for such a creature. He knew the one she asked about. It was a small, tender-looking thing, often set to fits of frolicking, as if its only outlet for joy was to shake its body wildly. It had four thin black legs and an unkempt coat of wool, she called it. Man loved its being, totally captured by its grace and willingness to enjoy itself unreservedly. The creation rolled and became hidden behind a tall patch of the Earth's green hair. 3, 2, 1. A new creation emerged. Its being was very different. It was bigger and much heavier. Its body was covered in light brown fur. Its feet were thick and padded. This new creation flicked a long tail and shook its head, its face now surrounded by a mane of tangled hair. This creature walked slowly, as if burdened by its size. It stopped and looked toward man. Roar! A fierce sound came from its mouth, and the ground trembled. Overcome with enthusiasm, and a little bit lost in the profundity of what he had seen, man made his voice to mimic the noise. Roar. Love saw that this was good. Come. Man turned around, and once again, within his touch, his father stood. His father laughed a deep belly laugh that tickled the ground in lovely pleasures. We want to share creation with you. Man felt the sweet embrace of his love wrap herself around him. Hi, she whispered. Would you like that? Man wasn't sure what this meant, but his being found it pleasing, and without words, he accepted a new and fantastic role. He was commissioned to name any of the creatures he saw, to call out their purpose, to place on them a divine destiny, and as such, he was subject to bringing forth new lives. His father saw that this was good, and his mother saw that this was love. They were all very happy. Man lived in a garden without borders or boundaries, a freeing city of tall trees, unruly grasses, and abounding living things. Animals, he called them. Winsome creatures, all with different lifestyle preferences and all with different abilities. Some of the animals stayed fairly grounded, content in foraging. Others, though, were taken by flights of fancy, diving upwards and swimming in the skies as one might swim in pools of water. Man was often found in trance-like states, his eyes wide and his mouth open as he watched their beings. Birds, he called them. His parents lived to encourage man's fascinations, and would often, without warning, carry him into the heavens and toss him with the creatures he so fondly stared after. There were no limits in the pursuit of their fellowship. Man enjoyed his being. The garden was fruitful, and the animals were ever pleasing to him as company. Together, they were all exploring the garden when Love turned to her son and asked, "Are you happy?" Without need of a wordy response, he smiled, and she felt the contentment of his being. Then, she felt a deep longing. A longing that had always been in man's heart as it was placed there from the beginning. It began as something small, a desire one might overlook as easily as one looks over an itch, but now it was as a craving might be. "It's time," she pressed, looking towards man's father. He smiled. "Son, it's time we introduce you to the one your heart craves after." His father led him to a spot shaded by two trees. "Here, we breathe life into your being, and here we bring life to hers." Man's heart adjusted to the nature of that promise, and his mind believed what his eyes could not see. Love came over man, and he began to envision her, his counterpart, and the reason for his longing. It was only a brief vision, though, a small taste of creation's sweetest drug, on which he became totally hooked. Love started, "Will you?" But man, so caught up in joy and unable to contain himself, interrupted her with, "Yes, I will." And she saw that this was good. His father laughed, "Well, come on then, son." Man unsure about what he had agreed to, but uncertain he truly cared, ran to his papa, overwhelmed and overcome by good feelings. It's simple, really. His father winked at him. As the mother of my creation breathed life into you, so you must breathe life into the body of the beautiful one you saw. But first, in honor of the life she is to have with you, and in sacrifice for her being, she needs something from you more than your breath. His papa paused, the severity of his next words hanging heavy in the air. As she will have a breath from your lungs, she will also need a rib from your body. The rib will protect her breath and her being. Without hesitation or need for further explanation, man said, "Papa, for her I'd do anything." Love then spoke, "Rest." Her words triggered a flash of white light in which man's body and his mind were totally engulfed. His senses were made alive and he drank deeply. Filled with life, his being became wholly intoxicated. The light was like the strongest liquor to him, the strangest experience yet so pleasing to his soul. He was made completely satisfied. And then the light went away and he found himself in the garden, his father's arms wrapped tightly around him. Man's eyes were now made heavy, and he slipped into the deepest and most pleasant sleep. His dreams became him. He let himself wander through the vastness of endless possibilities. He ran with her, his beautiful one. He danced with her, and he played with her. His heart was high as he watched her, unceasingly. Unable to look away, wrapped by her presence entirely. When his senses finally came to him and he awoke, he felt as though they had spent a lifetime together. He opened his eyes and found her body lying next to his. They lay in the grass beneath two trees, their parents patiently at their feet. "Sweet dreams?" love asked, tickled by man's affections as she draped herself over his father in adoration. Man smiled, his cheeks flushed by the encounters in his sleep. "Yes," he spoke softly, enchanted by the one next to him. Man saw that his right side was marked by the sign of a missing rib, a scar to show his love. He looked over the body of the one next to him. "You are the most beautiful." Man stopped as he began to cry, his heart and his soul deeply nourished by her existence. Having decided no more words needed saying, he made his face close to hers and inhaled. He carefully pressed his lips against her lips and exhaled all of his breath. She began to breathe. Man leant back and his beautiful one in the grass smiled. "She has my bone," man shouted in excitement. "She is my flesh. I'll call her woman." With her eyes still shut, woman reached for man. He let his face meet her hands and she gently stroked his cheeks. She then pulled him back towards her, and her eyes opened. The most enticing pools of color man had ever seen, rippling with promise. "I love you," she said, her voice as sweet to his ears as the garden's fruit was to his tongue. She kissed him, and for that time, all of creation sat still, feeling the birth of a love so wonderful, so richly fantastic, that it could not help pause in celebration of such a moment. Their father cried, "These are my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased." Love danced, captured by the beauty of their workings in her creation. blessed by his words, a complimenting truth on the state of existence. Man and woman kissed for what could have been an eternity, time having no rights to intervene in their love. Their parents, as before, became the wind in their hair, the air in their lungs, and the breath they swapped as their lips sweetly touched. All in total union and all in gratification of one another, not one without the other, as was intended when creation was spoken into being. With their lips together, man and woman breathed in. "I taste you," he said, his eyes closed and his arms snug around her body. She laughed and bit his nose playfully, rolling her fingers through his hair, trapping his legs between her own. "You are beautiful," she whispered, her words like honey, his mind for a moment losing itself as he drifted somewhere far within the recesses of his desire. He began to smell the prettiest fragrance. "It must be coming from that color," he thought as he watched a mist of turquoise dance through an eternal blackness. He laughed to himself. "Where are you going?" He heard her voice. The beautiful one was calling to him. She giggled, and the sound was enough to overwhelm his body. "Stop tickling me," he cried in pleasure. Man opened his eyes and found himself in the grass beneath woman as she gazed at him in curiosity. "You didn't want to take me with you?" she asked, smiling. In the morning, they awoke on a bed of wildflowers and long grasses, their bodies tangled in one another's, a tousled mess of beings. "Hi," she whispered, her breath stroking the edges of his nose. He pulled her in close, and with his mouth to her ear, he promised, "I will always love you." Then, as easily as they came to, they fell back to sleep, allowing themselves to the ways of their dreams. Woman was loved and loved the landscape of her mind. Often captured by her dreaming, she would imagine and then lose herself in her imaginations. Love liked it when she did this, as it would saturate the atmosphere in their garden with a feeling of hopefulness. Woman's thoughts were potent and life-bringing. She set the temperature of their eternal commitments to one another by creating an air of ease and restfulness. In such a place, they were all free to be and to express themselves as they wished. The garden was set as an everlasting promise of pleasure. "I am so thankful for you both," their father's voice echoed, and all of creation seemed to repeat his gratitude. Woman's being moved in excitement. She gasped, "Let's dance!" She then danced with man, their love leading them through their garden, her face the full expression of unrelenting joyfulness. She sang while her body stirred in worship. Together, they all entwined themselves into a wonderful dialogue of knotted beings, dancing becoming life's only ambition for them at that time. And as they let themselves tumble through the arrhythmic comings of their bodies, they fell into the everlasting inclinations of heaven. Man and woman and their mother and father, no longer just a trinity of lovers made now with infinite possibilities by their affections for one another. Their garden was swallowed by the night sky, and all found themselves spinning amidst the stars. Man and woman indulged in the galaxies, drinking in the dark mixture of matter their parents had created. "We made this all for you," their father shared as he twirled them through the universe, through their universe. every star in our big cosmos was designed for your pleasing." They all laughed, so smitten in the promise of forever together. They lived in unrestricted intimacy, naked by the choosing of their hearts, and all were happy. They were all content as they found themselves atop the highest peak in their garden, sitting upon a living stone, a rock saturated in life and shored by color. Their father began, "Children, the day of your conception, by the place of your birth, there started to grow two fruit-bearing trees. Today the fruit is ripe and ready for you to eat." Their love paused, her eyes searching them in hopes that they would understand. She continued, "The trees are for your pleasing, and you have freedom to eat of them as you wish. Only, we must warn you of their consequences." Existence shifted itself momentarily, throwing them all into a portal of pretty lights and swirling colors. They immediately appeared in front of the two fruit-bearing trees. "Children, the tree to your right offers living fruits, fruit that will feed your desires and satiate your souls, a delicious bliss. The tree to your left offers law-giving fruits, knowledge of right and wrong, and this is a burden we do not want for you. To the right you'll feel vitality, and to the left you'll know judgment. Judgment, if you let it, will kill you." It was the nature of man and woman's free will that allowed those trees a chance to grow in the garden, a freeing opportunity for choice. "For your sake, children, don't eat from the tree to your left." "Could be like gods, you know." Man turned to see a serpent caught in the branches of a tree. His body was grand and his voice hypnotic. "I've tasted its fruit and I know it's good," the serpent hissed as he used his claws to pull himself through the leaves. "Do I look like I've tasted death?" His face caught the light and his scales glistened beautifully. Woman saw this. The serpent turned to her. "You want to be perfect like your father, right? I promise, if you eat the fruit from that tree, you'll be made just like him. You'll know what he knows, good and evil, right and wrong." He then slipped away, his words entirely captivating. Woman was intrigued. "Like Papa," she remarked, pleased by the sound of such an offer. Man watched her pace before the two trees. "What is good and evil?" she asked, stopping by the tree to their left and looking at its fruit. Man walked to her and stood beside her. "I don't know," he said. "Well, surely we already know life, right? And if this fruit will work us to be more like our father?" She reached for a fruit and felt its flesh. "I would like to try it." Man stayed silent. Love was close by and playing in a pool of water. "Which tree do you think they'll choose to eat from?" she asked. "I don't know. But in the course of eternity, it doesn't really matter," he responded, and her being sighed in relief. "We will always love them, unconditionally and unreservedly. Whatever it takes, we are eternally bound in our affections for them." They promised. They smiled. Man sat, his hands stained by the fruit's juices. "I don't feel any different," he confessed in confusion. Woman looked over at him. Her being was made heavy. Her eyes began to water as she trembled in fear. "I'm afraid," woman groaned. "Is this knowledge evil? Are we evil? Was it bad that we ate from that tree?" Man cried in agony, "Shit." Man became full with fear. "We did the wrong thing, right?" Man and woman wept. Their souls were in torment as their minds became trapped by fearful thinking, their hearts no longer abiding in perfect love. "We're alone." Man sought out his parents, but he could not see them. "Our parents have left us." Woman pressed her face to the earth in agony, pulling at the grass between her fingers. "Love must have seen us. Love must have left us, right?" "I don't know." The wind suddenly picked up, and the loveliest fragrance wandered through their garden. The light sounds of stepping could be heard, at first in the distance, then closer still. "Children, where are you?" Man quickly looked at woman. "What do we do? Our bodies are stained by the juices from that fruit. We can't let Papa see us like this." Woman shrieked and threw her body into a thicket. The branches reached themselves around her body, pulling her in, hiding her sin. Man pressed himself after her, his breath heavy and his heart beating rapidly. All became quiet. "Children, where are you?" "Something's terribly wrong," love grieved as she came close to where her children were. Their father spotted them through a gap in the leaves. "Why are you hiding yourselves?" love asked. Man spoke plainly. "You would be ashamed if you could see us. We've made ourselves dirty." Their father kept his gaze on them. "Don't you see that we made you perfectly?" Woman shook, weighed down in her unbelief and overcome by sadness. "Surely we aren't perfect any longer, Father," she sobbed. Love wept. "You are judging yourselves too harshly." Man became indignant. "We know judgment, and we've made ourselves evil by eating from that tree. How you could ignore such sin doesn't make sense to me." Man and woman turned to leave. Still covered by the foliage, hoping to find sanctification in distance. "You won't find true, unrelenting life anywhere apart from us," their parents reasoned. "Not a threat, only a poor comment on the state of existence living outside intimacy." But their children couldn't see past themselves. They were caught up in thoughts of good and bad works, feeling the weight of a law-bound mindset. "Children, look into my eyes," love screamed, not in anger, not in fear, but in desperate jealousy for the attention of her children, in hopes that they would forget themselves and see true life inside her affections. They couldn't. They avoided eye contact, believing themselves too impure to look upon their parents. Man and woman no longer believed in perfect love, and soon they wouldn't be able to see her. "Please wait," love called out. "Leaves won't do as clothing for our children." Their father handed them each an animal skin, a new offering for their coverings. Man recognized the creatures killed for such a gift, and he grieved in pain that they had been the ones sacrificed. Man robed himself in a once ferocious beast, the one he had heard roar so long before. Woman was cloaked in the flesh of its smaller, woolly, once joyful counterparts. Their parents wept as their children let their thoughts become concerned with matters of justice and not the eternal affairs of love. man turned to woman. We're alone now. Love must have left us. Your love, she waits for you to come home. She says, let go of your busy duties. Take no part in the obligations of your being. Come, and let's be naked with one another. Let's dance through the gardens of my affections for you, my lovely child.